Good morning, everybody. You take your Bibles, and we're going to begin in that little book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. But I'm going to move around to a wide variety of scriptures this morning as we look at this subject, godly mother or biblical model for a mother, that type of a thing, which I think will be beneficial to us. Mother's Day is one of those special days of the year, and it's real similar to Easter, and you're trying to find a different passage to preach on Mother's Day, and same thing with Easter can sometimes be a challenge, so but we found one, so bear with me. We'll see what we can do with it, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before your throne of grace, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your love toward us. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers and what they mean and how special they are, for the guidance and direction that they provide for us, Father, for taking care of us and for helping us be the people that we are. We're grateful to you for that. Father, we pray for this time here this morning. Pray that you would direct me as I teach and help this to grant insight and understanding to those that are here. For it's in Christ's name we pray, Lord. Amen. We look at this thing. Basically, what we're going to look at is what does it take to be a godly mother, or guidelines for a godly mother, or guidelines for a biblical mother, whatever approach you want to use. But the first point is this, and that is that being a mother is a blessing from God. Is what it is. It's a blessing from God. It's not an accident when someone becomes a mother, contrary to what people say. It's not an accident, because God, according to Scripture, opens and closes the womb. If you look there at the passage that Richard read in Luke chapter 1, and you look at verse 13, it says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John.'" You can look over in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 5, and when you look at that passage of Scripture there, it speaks of the Lord opening a womb in that story too. Look at it with me if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 5, it says, "But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb." We don't have time, but you can look in Genesis 16, Genesis 25, and those passages all speak of the Lord opening and closing wombs. Okay? The reason I say that is this, that when a woman becomes a mother, that is a gift from God, or that is a blessing from God. Now, on the backside of that is this. Every year when you preach a Mother's Day, I know that there are women out here that are not mothers, and I understand that. And contrary to what was thought in the Old Testament, see, in the Old Testament they thought that if you had children, you were blessed of God. Didn't have children, you didn't have God's blessing on you. But we understand in Scripture that that's not the case. Some women are going to be mothers. Some women are not going to be mothers. But those that are mothers, that it is a blessing from God. And the reason I say it is, preached a Mother's Day sermon one Sunday and got chewed out after the service by a woman that wasn't a mother. And she said, "I get sick and tired of having to come to church and listen to Mother's Day sermons on Mother's Day." And I said, "Okay." Moving right along. We'll go to the next complaint on the list. But I understand that there are some women that are not mothers, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with that, or there's no problem with that. But every woman out there is instructed, whether they're a mother or not, to teach the younger women. So we have a responsibility to teach. So the guidelines that I'm going to share this morning will be applicable either way. But children are a gift from God. Psalm 127:3. If you look at that passage, very familiar passage of Scripture to many people, I'm sure. It says, "Behold, Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And the idea there is that children are a blessing from God. Okay? They're given to us. And it is our responsibility as parents to bring them up in the proper training. So the first point is, being a mother is a blessing from God. Second point is, mothers have a responsibility to obey the Lord. Okay? The passage that we read this morning, there's something unique. Let me move this thing down. Pop it. Try that. There's something unique about that passage. If you look at that passage in Luke, Elizabeth received specific instruction on this baby. In verse 13, it says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John.'" Then after the baby was born, if you look over in verse 59 of this same chapter, it says, "Now so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. And his mother answered and said, 'No, he shall be called John.'" Why was he going to be called John? Because that was the instruction she had received from the Lord. And Elizabeth was a godly mother, and she was obeying the instructions of the Lord. We have instructions from God on children. Mothers have specific instructions from God on children. And those instructions are found in various places in Scripture. One of them is in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, if you will turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to take a look at verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. This is guidelines given to children and to parents in the Scriptures. If you'll look at the Scripture, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, that has within it the understanding that both mother and father are going to be teaching the children, and it is the child's responsibility to follow the teachings of both mother and father. Okay? "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Now, we have this instruction. The word there for fathers literally refers to both mother and father. Literally, parents is the idea. Because the responsibility falls upon both. But what does this mean to bring up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Okay? Let's take a look at this passage of Scripture. Let's look first of all at that phrase, "but bring them up." Those four words in the English and the Greek are one word. And it's a compound word. The word is extrepo. And extrepo means to nourish with food is the idea. So the bringing up of a child means to nourish that child. But it doesn't pertain strictly to food. He says, "bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So this nurturing, or this, if you will, nourishing with food is to meet the three areas of a child's life: physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. Now, how do you bring a child up like that? Well, that's what he tells you. He says, "in the training and admonition of the Lord." The word there for training is the word paideia. And paideia literally means discipline. We often use the phrase paideia to refer to child training. But the word means discipline, and it means to provide guidance to one. It was a word that was used for guiding a vessel like a ship to keep it on course. to guide or to steer it in the proper direction. In the life of a child, it means we're to provide guidance for them until they reach maturity, is the idea. The second word there, admonition, means instruction. And it is a compound word. The first one means you provide guidance. And when a child gets off that pathway, what do? You bring them back onto that pathway. The second word, which is in my Bible says admonition, the word literally means instruction. It is a compound word in the Greek. It's actually two words put together, and it means to mind place or to place into the mind. The idea of instruction means that you vocalize teaching to a child to put it into their mind. It means that a parent provides them guidance, but at the same time, a parent provides them instruction, training by the word, okay? To warn or instruct, to provide truth is the idea. And it says you provide this training, this guidance, and this instruction of the Lord. So that tells you where your source is. Your source is this right here. It means that it's a parent's responsibility to teach and to train their children. That's very important for us to understand. It is not the church's responsibility, though the church does have a responsibility. It is not the church's primary responsibility to teach children spiritual truth. Just like it's not the public schools or government school or private school responsibility to teach a child all they need to know. Public teaching, as we know it today with government schools, is something that's just been around for 100 to 150 years. It's a new concept. Prior to that, teaching was done in the home. And it's the parents' responsibility to teach their children. So even if our children go to a government school, it's still our responsibility as parents to provide them the guidance and instruction that they need. And we do that several ways. We do that by being actively involved in the school. We do it also by finding out what they teach. And a good parent will find out what their child is being taught and oversee that. And look into it. I want you to look at a passage of scripture in the Gospel of Luke again. And look in Luke chapter 2. We're going to run around to a lot of different passages, okay? Luke 2 and 52 is a very important passage of scripture. Because it speaks about the life of Jesus Christ. And as he was brought up. And I wanted you to look at it. Luke 2 and 52. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom, that's his internal training, and stature. That was his external physical growth. So he grew both in understanding and he grew physically. And it says, and in favor with God and man. Now, that covers both ends of the spectrum. And it should provide guidance for us that as we bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, what we want to do with those children is to bring them up in such a way that they will have favor with both God and with man. Okay? And it speaks of the Great Commission. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that is the greatest of all commandments. So we want to bring our children up in such a way that they have favor with God, but at the same time, they know how to relate to their fellow man. They know how to relate to people, okay? I got an excerpt here. It was put out by the Houston Police Department back in the early 70s, and it was a book that they used to publish. They don't do it anymore, but they used to publish this book, and it was called How to Ruin Your Children, and it was a guidebook. And the subtitle of the book, it said, How to Ruin Your Children. And the subtitle was, How to Raise a Juvenile Delinquent. And this is their five principles from the book. Listen to these. Begin with infancy to give the child everything that he or she wants. That was principle one. Then they had a whole chapter explaining how to do that. Principle two. When he picks up bad words, laugh at him. Principle three, never give him any spiritual training. Let him or her wait until they're 21 years of old and let them decide for themselves. Principle 4, avoid using the word wrong. It may develop a serious guilt complex in your child. Principle 5, pick up everything he or she leaves lying around so he or she will be experienced in throwing their responsibility onto everyone else. Those were the 5 principles that the book taught. And the Houston Police Department said those were the 5 things that were critical to ensure that a child would become a juvenile delinquent. Now, what are we to do with Scripture? We're to bring children up to where they do what is right and they have favor with God and with man. So as a mother, what are some of the things we should be teaching our child? I think first and foremost is this, and this applies to parents. We should be teaching children character. That's probably the most important thing you can teach a child. Now, you got to ask yourself the question, what do we mean when we say character? Character is the true person. Character is who a person is when no one else is around. Character is what you are and I are. Character is what you are and what I am. There we go. English language is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And being educated in it is an advantage for some people. Now, what was I talking about then? That was bad, man. Character is what you really are. You understand? Character is what I am when no one's looking. Character is what I choose, and it is a part of my makeup. It's how we are brought up. And so, as parents, we try to instill good character. I've told my children all along, I don't care how good you are in athletics. I don't care how popular you are. I don't care what you look like. All I care about is your character and your relationship with God. If your relationship with God is right and your character is right, you can overcome any of that other stuff, folks. That's what's really important about a person. And the problem that we have today is we have a generation of people that have no character, that have no character of good quality, if you will. Okay? Now, let's take a look at a passage of Scripture that would instruct us on character. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. Falls right in line with the Luke 2:52 passage. Proverbs 3:3-4 says this. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, how do you do that? Through character. Having character of loving kindness and truth. Being honest, straightforward. That's what he's saying right there in that passage of Scripture. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 8. It says, a man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Character is to learn right and wrong. Learn what is acceptable. Learn what is honorable. Learn what is right in living. A child needs to learn that from an early age. And the way you instill that in a child is by daily teaching that child what is right and what is proper. Second thing is, not only should you teach them character, second thing is you should teach children to respect authority. Teach children to respect authority. Now, what do we mean by respecting authority? What do we mean by that? Everyone has authority figures over them. And the first line of authority that a child learns to respect is their mother and father. And the problem when you have a breakdown in a home and you don't have a mother and father teaching the children, okay, then the children begin at an early age to not respect people that are in authority. So the way a child learns authority is they begin learning it at home in relationship to their mother and relationship to their father. And then that authority goes out from that, because everyone is going to be under some kind of authority. You understand? No, I don't care how long you live, you're always going to be under someone's authority, whether that authority is in the community that you live in, whether it's in the city you live in, whether it's in the church that you go to, whether it's in the job that you have. Regardless of where you go, you're going to have authority figures. And a child needs to learn to respect authority and to follow authority figures. So we have the development of character, we have the respecting of authority, and the third thing is the selection of friends. The selection of friends. It's very important for parents to instruct their children on how to select friends. I don't know what it is, but there's a natural gravity in a child to find a rotten friend. Okay, that's just the way it is. And the best way to do that is to allow your children to invite friends over to the house. The purpose of inviting friends over to the house is not so the kids can play, it's so the parents can inspect the friends. That's the purpose of it, to find out what kind of friends that they're hanging around with, what kind of friends are they associated with, okay? And a child needs to learn at an early age how to select a friend. Now you ask yourself the question, how do you figure that out? How do you teach that to a child about selecting friends? Well, the book of Proverbs tells you specifically what are the qualities of a good friend, what you should look for. Proverbs 22:1, for example, says this: a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. You see that? What does our society tend to value today? Great riches, right? That's what's important. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're a professional athlete and you cheat and you lie and you do all kinds of illegal nonsense, as long as you make the big payday. It doesn't matter what you do, if you're an actor or singer or whatever, you can have a life that is the garbage, but the world admires them. Why? Because they make a lot of money. See, it shows you how upside down our world is, our society is. So from an early age, teach your children that their name, who they truly are, is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Favor with who? Favor with God and favor with their fellow man. Being a person that is honest and a person that can be trusted. Look at Proverbs 20 and verse 11. It says, even a child is known by his deeds, by whether what he does is pure and right. So you teach a child character. You teach them what is proper and good in their life. And one of the ways you can do that is by teaching a child how to avoid fools, how to avoid being around fools. Now, what do we mean by a fool? If you've been following the teaching in Ecclesiastes, you know what I'm talking about. It means people that live their life without God. Look in Proverbs chapter 1. I'm just going to read through some passages here. Follow me in this. Proverbs chapter 1. And let's begin with verse 8. This is instruction to a young man about what he should do in life. And follow this instruction. Verse 8. He says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Now note that. Both father and mother are instructing this young man. Okay? For they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. What should parents be doing? Teaching your child to don't go along with the crowd. Don't go along with wrong behavior. How do you do that? Character is more important than favor with other people. That's very important to understand. Because a child's natural bend is not going to be towards what is right. You understand? A child's natural bend is going to be away from what is right. A child's natural bend is going to be in accordance to their sinful nature. Because a child is born into this world, contrary to what a lot of people think, a child is born into this world evil. Okay? Now that's hard for a lot of people to believe in a concept because they think children are precious and innocent. But if a child was the size of an adult, they'd be a certified terrorist because they are. Because that's just the way. You don't believe me, go back to the nursery. And the reason they have nursery workers in there is to keep those children from killing each other. Because if they were left, I'm serious, if they could do it, they would. If they were left uncontrolled, they would eat each other, what they would do. They would destroy each other. Why? Who taught them to be that mean? Who taught them to be like that? No one. Where'd that come from? It comes out of their heart. The Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it from them. In other words, instruction and admonition in the Lord straightens out their life. And that's what you need to do. What do you think a criminal is? A criminal in reality, folks, is just a child that has never been instructed properly. That ignorance has not been driven out of them. And they make the decisions that a child would make. And a person left to themselves will become very selfish. And you can have a child raised in a home with a mom and dad, but if a mom and dad don't step up to the plate and be a parent, you will raise a child that is a delinquent. A parent has to learn to make the hard decisions and do what is right and not necessarily what's popular. See, the problem with a lot of parents today is they want to be their kid's best friend. And you are not your kid's best friend. You're your kid's parent. And you can be real good friends with your child, but somebody has to be the disciplinarian that will step in and tell a child, no, you can't do that, and no, you need to go this way, and yes, that is good, and yes, that is proper, and that's what you need to do. That's the responsibility of a parent. A parent has to take ownership of that child. Because no one else is going to do it. You understand? The church is not going to do it. The schools are not going to do it. It's the parents' responsibility to train that child and to bring that child up in the good and the proper way because that foolishness is bound in their heart. And you teach a child from an early age who to listen to and who to not listen to and who to follow and who not to follow so that when they're not around you, they instinctively know that that is not a good thing. That because that person's saying that or doing that, that is not a good thing. One of the things I always enjoyed about my children was when they would report things that kids would do that they said, I don't think that was the right thing to do. It shows you that they're learning at an early age of what is right. Okay? And so you've got to cultivate that in a child. You've got to bring that along. That's the responsibility of a parent. Let me tell you something else you need to teach a child from an early age to bring them up properly. You need to teach a child the importance of work, okay? The importance of work. Look at it in Proverbs chapter 10. Just follow me. We're going to go through and look at a few scriptures. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. He who gathers in summer is a wise son, and he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. The idea there is children need to learn at an early age how to work. Now, how do you teach them that? Well, you teach them personal responsibility with putting up their own stuff, cleaning up their rooms, and helping in different chores around the house, that they have to take responsibility in these areas. Look at Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12 and 11. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. What is frivolity? Frivolity means those things that are vain. You know, you let a kid sit around and just watch TV all day or play video games all day or ride a skateboard all day, and you don't intercede in their life and provide them certain areas of responsibility, they'll grow up and they'll think that's all life is just having fun. Child needs to learn work, and work is a good thing for a child. Look at verse 14. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. A lot of look at chapter 13, verse 11. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Passage after passage after passage tells us that a child should be involved in work. A child should be involved in work. So we see two major areas of a mother. Number one, a child is a blessing from God. Number two, mothers need to obey God. And what I mean by that is by instructing their children in the way they should go. The third point is real simple. And the third point is this. A godly mother will be remembered. A godly mother will be remembered. If you were brought up by a good mother, you are blessed. You truly are. And people do not realize how really blessed they are by their mothers. And look what the scripture says in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verse 28. Speaking of the godly mother, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. What that means is, a lot of times your children, as they're getting this instruction, they won't appreciate it a whole bunch. But in the end, they will look back and say, that was the best thing I could have had. That was the best I could have received right there. And what's the challenge? The challenge is to the people here today that are bringing up children. Do what is right. And in the end, that child will be blessed as a result of it. That's what the scripture teaches us. Be a godly influence in the life of your child. Bring that child up in a godly way. You think about Christ at the end of his life in John 19, verses 25 through 27. The last act that he does on the cross is he takes his mother and he puts his mother under the authority of the apostle John and says, John, take care of my mom while I'm gone. That's what he says and that's what he does. Why? Because he appreciates a godly mother. And so let me encourage you, if you're a mother out there today, do what is right. And in the end, you will bring up a child that has favor with both God and man. And that's what we need. We need a generation of young people brought up in our society that love God and are in favor with their fellow man. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for this day that we set aside to celebrate our mothers. And Lord, our mothers taught us so much, and even just little simple ways and simple things that they do, because they've been involved in our life from the very first day. In most cases, they were the first voice that we ever heard. And they have provided guidance for us all along the way, and we thank you for that. Father, I pray for those here today that are mothers. Just pray, God, that you would help them to be a godly influence in their child's life, to be the person that gives them the guidance they need, Lord, and that you would encourage them. Lord, I pray for mothers in here of all different ages, and just thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for the many blessings they bring to the lives of so many. And Father, we're grateful to you for this day and for what it means. And thank you, Lord, for the godly mothers that you've allowed us to have. And we pray these things in Christ's name, Lord. Amen.